it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With our brand spanking new game that's taking over the entire radio world here in the Bay Area, it's none other than Higher or Lower. And with that, I give you the host of Higher or Lower. He goes by the name Dan Dibley.
I love it. This is fun where we play off of a number. And today, in honor of Justin Verlander getting the start for the Giants, we're going to play with his career strikeout total, which is 3,536. I'll remind you of the number. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but it'll be Willard versus Grandy versus Lucas, and I'll give you 10 items, and you have to decide if that item's total is higher or lower than 3,536. Okay. Willard, are you ready?
I am 3,536. I'm going to write it down because that's an intricate number.
It's a number. Right. Grandy, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Lucas, are you also ready?
Fired up.
We start with Mark Willard with item number one. All higher right. or lower, 3,536. Frank Gore, career regular season rushing attempts.
Oh,
higher
God.
Or lower, Mark Willard?
Rushing attempts?
Attempts.
I'll go lower.
And Grandy?
I'll go higher.
And Alexander?
Lower.
It is higher.
Oh, damn.
Yeah! 3,735. He is third all-time behind Emmett and Walter Payton.
I want to let Frank go. That's too many. It's too many.
Yeah.
And I bet he's in pain.
They needed
sorry,
to bubble
Frank.
Wrap him.
Yeah.
Number two, we go to Grandy.
Right. It's a horrible start.
The peak of Mount Diablo, which is just east of Walnut Creek out there in Concord. The peak of Mount Diablo in feet. Higher or lower than 3,536?
That's a good question.
Thank you, Mount Diablo.
It's a great question.
And that's...
I'll go higher.
And Alexander.
Lower.
And Willard.
I would like to go higher.
Can we hear me? It is higher.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
3,849.
I'm staying with you, Grandy.
Loser,
I'm staying
Lucas.
With you.
Yeah, 2-1-0, Lucas. You've got the zero. Number three.
Who's the guy that just hit the home run?
It's 6-1, Texas.
Yeah, 6-1. All right.
Lucas, back we go to you. Lucas, number of days since the Giants won their last postseason game. Higher or lower, 3,536.
Hey, it was, okay. All right. Wait.
Higher.
Number of days.
Since they won their last postseason game. Number of days.
Number of days.
Lucas is going higher.
Postseason game, not series?
Did I say series?
Well, said game.
I said game.
Am I next?
You are next.
It has to be lower.
Yeah, it's lower by a lot, right?
It
is lower, but not by a lot.
Really?
Not by a lot, Grandy.
3,264.
How's that? It was 4 years?
October 5th, 2016.
They won a game in 2021.
Oh, you're right. So it's much lower. Anyway, I'm going to scratch that one for next time.
Yeah. Lucas, that was a really good over for you, Lucas.
That was a bad over.
You were only off by about 2K.
I went to 2016, too.
Yeah, I totally forgot about 2021.
That was incredible.
Dude,
I said series or game.
Shout out to Darren Ruff. Yeah. Ruff is on the mound.
And if it's series, it probably would be higher. Because
I think we should scratch that whole question.
Nope. We get that.
If we all figured it out, right. We could scratch it.
And we go to Willard. It's 3-2 Grandy, and Lucas
three, two,
and I both with zeros.
Yeah.
Willard, over higher or lower 35-36, Brock Purdy passing yards last year?
Last year.
Higher or lower 3,536?
I think it was higher.
Grandy?
I want to say higher.
Grandy?
I think higher as well.
Alexander.
My name's Lucas. It's lower.
Yeah, it's higher, Lucas.
Yep.
3,864.
Yeah, I knew. I thought it was 3,738.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like golf, right?
Lucas, you are getting... if we get to the second half and someone has zero, do they get eliminated?
No, because it's fun when somebody does really, really poorly.
Now I want to go zero.
Zero.
Best of luck. Grandy to you. Number five. Higher or lower than 3,536. Derek Jeter, career regular season hits.
3,500.
Wow, that's a lot of hits.
3,536.
I think it's lower.
And Alexander? Lucas?
No, that's fine. I see what you're doing with the last names. That's on me.
Yeah.
Higher.
And Willard?
I'm going to go lower. That's a lot of hits.
The answer's lower.
Yeah.
Yes.
Close, though. 3,465.
That's a lot of hits, bro.
A lot of hits, yeah. We go to Lucas. Alexander, higher or lower than 3,536? Total points scored this year by the Valkyries.
Oh.
In 44 games. Higher or lower?
44 games.
Lower.
And Willard?
I'm going to say lower just based on last night alone.
And Grandy?
I'll go higher.
It's lower.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got a tie.
Lucas, you got one right.
Thank
Lucas,
you.
I thought you were trying to get them all wrong.
3,420 is the answer. They were 10th in the W in total points. We go to Lucas. Higher or lower than 3,536. This game is tied at 5.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
You have one, Lucas. Driving distance from San Francisco to Bangor, Maine.
What?
Driving distance from San Francisco to Bangor, Maine.
Tony Bruno is somewhere smiling. Go ahead.
Bangor? Higher or lower than 3,536?
You're not supposed to do it.
It's higher.
Anyway, go ahead.
Higher.
Willard?
Miles driving from here?
Yes.
To Bangor, Maine?
Come on.
Higher.
And Grandy?
Higher.
It's lower, my friends. Yeah, 3,326.
I knew it was close.
Not even close. Number 8?
Sure.
Sounds about right. Yeah. We go to Willard. Let me see, make sure I got all these in. Yeah. Willard, higher or lower, 3,536. Steph Curry career regular season turnovers. Higher or lower?
That feels like a lot of turnovers, but he does turn it over a lot. Regular season turnovers. I'll go higher. What the hell?
Grandy?
Lower.
And Lucas Alexander.
Higher.
It is lower.
Oh,
yes!
Damn it.
3,187.
I wanted it to be lower, and I went against myself.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts a little bit.
It sure does.
We go to Grandy with this one.
Come on, Willard.
And we're doing this number based on Justin Verlander's career strikeouts. He pitches tonight.
Nice reset.
Thank you, Lucas insisted. 3,536 is the number.
And what's the score?
It is 6-5, Grandy.
Yeah.
Lucas is also playing.
Lucas has won.
Lucas has secured the bronze medal. We call him Lithuania.
Is this question 9?
We got 2 more to go?
2 to go.
Okay, remember if it's anyway, go ahead. Remember how to do it.
Thank you, Mark. Grandy.
All right.
Higher or lower, 3,536. Joe Montana career regular season completions.
Completions?
Completions. Good little quarterback.
That's a lot of completions. Jeez.
I'll say lower.
And Lucas?
Still playing. I'll go higher.
Okay. Barely playing. And Willard?
Well, I'll go higher just to see if I can tie him up here.
It is lower.
Damn it.
3,409.
Yeah, that's a win for Grandy.
That is, but we'll play out the string with this.
For Grandy is a loss for the world.
We'll start with Lucas. total number of double play groundouts last year in Major League Baseball. Oh. Higher or lower, 3,536.
Higher.
And Willard?
I'll go lower.
And Grandy?
I'll go higher.
It is lower.
Yeah.
And the tiebreaker was, of that number, how many did the Giants account for?
Most of them.
Right, exactly. 115 is the answer.
Okay. Yeah.
Congratulations, Grandy. You went 7-6.
7-6.
Lucas also played.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
And I'll try to tighten up my game. That was sloppy on me. That's on me.
Oh,
that
you
was
mean sloppy. You mean the last Giants postseason win?
Yeah,
I mean, I'll take it. It was an easy one.
I'm better than that.
Yeah, it was.
I thought that what Lucas did there was way more embarrassing than what you did.
Fair.
What?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He put together something, and there was an oversight weeks ago when he did it.
Yeah.
Then he asked the question, and you, like, Grant and I both looked at each other. I'm like, this is a 2-foot. You heard me ask him. I'm like,
I was like, wait, 4 times 365
last season.
I mean,
I answered first before you asked.
There's only 365 days in a year, Lucas.
And
2021
there's a leap year
is,
in there, yeah, but that doesn't. Yeah,
you multiply it by 4, and we're not even halfway there. Like,
yeah.
That's
on
you,
kid. I need
to
be better. It's on me. I hate the sloppiness, but.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Grandy.
Grandy.
You got 7 of the 10. I need to make him a little tougher. I'm going to tighten it up a little bit.
Oh, I thought they were appropriate. I really did.
We needed more non-
yeah.
We need more non-sports questions, I think.
Okay. Yeah, good. In future editions, I have a few more completely hashtag randoms in there.
How many footsteps does it take to get through the Pentagon?
Yep.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you walk through that thing, what does your Apple Watch tell you in terms of how many steps?
Yep. Remaining categories, we have Barry Bonds' career home runs. We have Klay Thompson's 37-point quarter.
Higher.
Bill Walsh career wins as a Niner coach.
Lots.
And we have Steph Curry career free throw percentage.
Oh.
91.1. So
I bet Bill Walsh's career wins are less than people would think.
Yeah, we'll get into that next time. Yeah. Next time on Higher or Lower.
Higher or Lower, okay. All right. Meantime, the Mets are coming back.
Well, kind of. Well, like, they're going to take the lead 9-6, and they're going to lose 12-11.
No, I mean, like, but it was 6-0, and now it's 6-3. Like, that's, you know, they cut that sucker in half.
Right.
They cut it in half.
Yeah, it's because DeGrom has
hair. Yeah, come on.
Clean-shaven DeGrom, less intimidating than a bearded or a goateed DeGrom.
All right, we're keeping an eye on it, though. Bottom of the third in New York, and the Rangers, after a 6-run first inning, still lead, but it is now a close baseball game again. 6-3 with two outs and no ducks on the pond in the bottom of the third. When does the Reds game start? You said that they were...
They're in Sacktown, so I think that's a 7 o'clocker.
They're a late one. They're a late one, too. Yeah, they're 7:05. Giants will start 10 minutes later with Verlander against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I don't know, man. This totally depending on who you're talking to. I still feel a lot of people in that space... The analogy I keep using of, like, you've already went to bed and then your friend calls you to say, let's go out. It's like, I don't know. Do I have the energy for this? But I also have a lot of people not only, like, talking about this run and this rally, but I think a lot of people are watching the Mets play right now and they actually are predicting. They're like, the Giants are going to make it. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, you can say that, but I do think it's important to also realize what's going on around them. And Tim Kawakami yesterday on Twitter, on X, he said, you know, it's Cincinnati you have to worry about. And I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about the Reds. And then you look and the Reds have the exact same record and they've got 3 in Sacramento against the A's. So if they handle the A's and the Giants struggle against the Dodgers, forget the Mets. The Reds might come on Monday and they might be the third wild card.
Well, I mean, if you can't win your own games, none of it matters.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I mean, schedule or scoreboard watching is fun, and you've been doing a great job of doing your Harry Callis and your Boach on these live Mets games, but if the Giants get swept by the Dodgers, then what are we even talking about?
7 of their next 10 games are against Los Angeles.
And winning
7 of their next 10.
If you go 4-3 against the Dodgers, that still might not be enough.
Might not be enough, but I would take that right now.
Sure.
I would take that right now because the other 9 games that remain on the schedule, those feel pretty workable. You do have to go to Arizona after the weekend. And then if you can get through your 4-game weekender in LA, and then you're on the 6-game sprint at that point, and you're still, if you can even still be, you know, a game out at that point, if you can still be a game out at that point, then I do start to like your chances because I like that last week's sprint. 3 against St. Louis, 3 against Colorado, all here at Oracle Park. Wouldn't surprise me if the Giants went 6-0 on those.
Yeah, that would surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It depends on if St. Louis is still in it. They could be in it.
It's going to be mail-in time.
Well, they're 4 out right now. If they're 4 out with 6 to go, then they might be in mail-in mode. And the other thing that makes me a little bit nervous is the Giants are not great at home. And they have been of late, but their season journey has not been one of home excellence. No,
it's not a huge ballpark anymore. Suddenly, it's not a huge ballpark anymore. They're just like a couple home runs a night, every single night, even at home.
Yeah.
Even people who don't normally do it. I was there on Tuesday night, watched Patrick Bailey hit one that went over the fence. Wasn't inside the park or any of that. Over the fence. For Patrick Bailey. And you know, Adames with a three-run homer before everybody even got to their seat. So, yeah, they have been a very good baseball team of late. And by the way, the Dodgers have also been just kind of eh.
Yeah.
So, if you get through the intimidation of the uniform and the names and all that stuff, like, yeah, but that's where it starts. Yeah, we scoreboard watch, but if the Giants don't win their games, who cares?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you gotta start with that and then worry about the rest later.
Dodgers have won four in a row after having lost five of the previous six, so they seemingly have turned it around a little bit. But yeah, when these two teams get together, it's not even about scoreboard watching. It's about Giants and Dodgers, right? Yeah. The rivalry.
Well, Dodgers have won four in a row, but that was also because they hosted Colorado for a three-game series.
Sure.
So
it's not a guarantee that you're going to beat Colorado.
Prior to that, they had a five-game losing streak only against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Like a crazy road trip that included Yamamoto going out there and being an out away from a no-hitter, only to have that then be a solo home run, but still up 3-1. And then their bullpen came up and lost the game. They lost the game. He was an out away from a no-hitter with a 3-0 game in the bottom of the ninth, and they lost the baseball game.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
Not just the no-hitter. So they're
the Orioles have won 8 of 10, yeah. So they're actually playing well. Pittsburgh has dropped 6 in a row now.
I look at it more this way. Like, again, I've always believed that bullpen performance is a sign. Kind of like your offensive line in football. It's a sign that it's not what we watch, but it'll tell you if you're playing well or not. And right now the Giants bullpen is performing and the Dodgers is not. But obviously that can change here in 2 hours. So
it's something to look forward to, though, which is exciting. You know,
absolutely.
As opposed to the Dodgers come in and you are already out of it.
There's nothing better than when a city has more than one team that is playing meaningful games at once. And that's like, I'm not even acknowledging, and maybe I should, like, throw the Valkyries into this because they're starting the playoffs. But if you have more than one team that's doing something meaningful, it usually means that one of them is on the cusp of a playoff appearance, and the other one is at least set up for a season that might be interesting. You know, like if the Niners make the playoffs and the Warriors are moving into a January and a February second half of the season and they're in good shape, or same thing here. It's only the beginning of the Niners season, but a lot of us have got high hopes for this season. And the Giants arrived at total afterthought. We had a funeral. We had a funeral right here on the show. And now they're a game and a half out with, 16?
Yep.
16 games left to play? Great. Get your butt back into the conversation. Sets up for an unbelievable September.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Valkyries, one season in the WNBA and now one playoff berth, and Giants in the thick of it, and the Niners with a week two game at New Orleans with a backup quarterback. You can't ask for much more drama than that. And you had me thinking about last year in December when the Niners were pretty much out of it and they were looking terrible and the Warriors were kind of flailing around 500. They hadn't yet got Jimmy Butler, and it was the hot stove, which is more of a not stove. And so the Giants were coming off another mediocre year, and we all were at that point in the Bay Area sports cycle. It was not great. We didn't have that same level of compelling teams as we do right now this weekend.
You know how you did all NBA season with the whole, like, over under 4.5
playoff wins or playoff game
Warrior
wins? Yeah.
Playoff wins.
Yep.
And I was under, and then they beat the Lakers and the Nuggets.
Yep.
On those, that, and I'm like, I'm switch. I'm going to go over. And the answer ended up being 5. All right, I got one for you.
Okay.
What is a higher number? Giants playoff games this year,
mm-hmm,
or Brock Purdy's September starts?
Oh, boy. The Niners play on the 14th, 21st, and 28th. Are we counting the one he's already started?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not.
Because that would be, for me, that would be the answer. Brock Purdy has the one, and I don't think the Giants are going to make it as much as I'd like them to. I don't think that 7 games against LA, even if you go 4-3, that might not be enough with the Reds are taking on the A's.
The odds right now still say there will be none.
Sure.
They still say, I'll look up. I don't know what the FanGraphs dealio right now is.
It was about 4% the other day, but it's interesting because Baseball Reference had him closer to 20%.
Yeah, that's odd that it's that far off, isn't it?
Yep.
FanGraphs tonight in this moment, and this is not, I'm sure, taking into account that the Mets trail 6-3 in the fourth inning. But right now, the make playoffs percentage from FanGraphs for the Giants is 8.1%. But you know, if you do the Purdy thing, the Niners have three games left in September, and we know for sure he's missing one. And according to the report, he's almost for sure missing two. So then, like, do you think he's playing week four against Jacksonville, I guess is the question, versus do you think the Giants are going to make the playoffs?
If I'm not allowed to pick the tie, a nil-nil tie, a soccer draw, then for me it becomes interesting. Brock Purdy making it back for a week four game versus the Giants somehow eking into the wild card, it's a toss-up, but I would lean toward Brock Purdy playing because, yeah, he's out 2 to 5 weeks, and he finished the game on this bad toe, and I know things can get worse overnight, especially when you have to get on a plane and you fly, but if Mac Jones is not very good, maybe you lose to New Orleans, maybe you come home and you lose another one, then, all right, Purdy, you're 1-2, maybe you gut it out on that toe, as opposed to the Giants finding a way to stay hot, the Mets continuing to Mets it up, the Reds leveling off, and the Giants making it in. Neither is super likely, but I would probably lean toward Brock Purdy, and I'm just looking at the ESPN.
You're probably right. Like, the percentage play right now is to say that the Giants won't make it and Brock starts week four against Jacksonville. That's probably the percentage play right now if you're doing this by odds. But I also just wonder kind of how you're feeling about it right now, because I got a lot of friends who are like, the Giants are going to make it. They're going to make it. Look at them. You know what I mean? They're a good baseball team right now. The Mets are completely falling apart. And yes, everybody's forgetting about Cincinnati, but, you know, whatever. So I don't know. But yeah, I know a lot of people right now who are feeling, they're feeling this Giants movement, and they're thinking that they're going to get there. They have a good lineup right now for whatever reason.
Yep.
They're all hot at once. It's a good lineup.
ESPN's got the Mets at 77.7%.
That's interesting.
The Reds at 12.8%. The Giants at 8.2%.
That's interesting.
And then you get to the D-backs are at 1.9%, and then the Cardinals are 0.7%, and you know, a bunch of them with trace
odds. That's pretty much just trumpeting FanGraphs. That's it.
Right,
pretty
about
much
the same. Okay.
Same numbers for the
so the
Reds
are basically 13. The Giants are 8, and the Mets are still at 78.
I wonder why would the Reds' odds be higher than the Giants? I know that there's all those Dodger games, but the other games are pretty friendly, and I know that their schedule metrics have said that they're kind of on the easier side. If you look at what the Reds still have to do, the Reds, yes, they're in Sacramento for three games. Then they're in St. Louis for three games. But then they've got the Cubs for four games, and they end the season in Milwaukee for three games. There's a little Pittsburgh mixed in, too. But they've got two series left with two really, really good teams.
Yep, and so, they've got 7 home and 9 road, which is theoretically more difficult. And if you want to go to the game tonight in Sacramento, tickets as low as $21. So
awesome.
At St. Louis, it says for Monday, tickets as low as $5.
Sure.
$5?
Yeah, school's back in.
But wow, you like, got five on it?
Weeknight?
Reds at the Cards?
Yeah, come on. You know what I mean? These aren't California prices.
I guess.
It's a school night in St. Louis, right in the middle of Monday Night Football.
Yep. You got Wednesday morning game, 10:15 our time. $5.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, sure. That one.
Yeah.
That makes all the sense in the world. All right. 888-957-9570 if you would like to weigh in on this. Here's Kyle Shanahan today. Let's run through some of this. Here's the official injury report.
All right. Injuries for the game. Brock Purdy will be out. Trent Williams questionable. Juwan Jennings questionable.
Okay. So there's a little follow up there on Trent and Juwan's availability.
Where's Trent at right now? I saw him running on the side. Is he? Did he progress throughout the course of the week?
Yeah, he was out there today. Got to practice with us. That was good.
Trent, he got limited practice time.
No, he was out there for everything. That says limited. But I mean, it went half speed, so he was able to get through it.
So are you confident that both the questionable guys will be available?
Questionable.
This is going to become the thing between Mayoko and Shanahan all year. Are you confident? Questionable confidence. Questionable concern.
Yeah.
Questionable.
Questionable.
Yeah. Like, questionable.
He's asking asking the right question.
Questionable concern.
But he's almost doing it now, I think, on purpose, knowing that the answer is going to be just that.
He's not going to tell you. It's an injury.
Are you confident? Questionable.
Questionable.
Cincinnati. It's very Belichickian. And we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, we're on to Cincinnati.
I love it.
Questionable.
That's right. Are you confident? Are you confident that he'll play?
Questionable.
Questionable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
are you not confident?
Questionable.
Questionable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was able to get through it and stuff, and he was going half speed, and that's why he was limited. Questionable.
What about Ricky Pearsall and his chemistry with Mac Jones?
I mean, Ricky's our starting receiver, so like, I don't, you know, when Ricky's going to win his routes and do his thing, and hopefully the plays and the protection and the coverages take him there, but you know, how a receiver plays and stuff, I don't think really depends on the quarterback. You know, some quarterbacks have an easier time getting the plays to the right spots and things like that, but you know, Ricky's in a good spot with whoever's playing.
That's kind of an interesting comment. I don't believe that how a wide receiver plays has anything to do with the quarterback. I don't know if I agree with that. I understand where he's coming from and why he says that and believes that. The coach is very formulaic, do your job, you do what you do, and you know, he's not thinking about stats. Like we go, hey, how did Ricky play? Well, he had four catches for over 100 yards. Kyle is like, no, dude, did you win your routes?
That's right.
Right? Were you doing what you were supposed to do? So I understand what he's saying, but, I mean, doesn't that sort of define Tom Brady's career? Bunch of receivers that weren't really anything anywhere else, but they were great with Tom, because when you have a great quarterback, your receivers are going to perform better.
And you have a great coach and a great play caller, and I think that's what I'm hearing Kyle say. He's talking about, you know, it doesn't really depend on the quarterback. Some quarterbacks have an easier time getting the plays to the right spots and things like that, but Ricky's in a good spot with whoever's playing. What I hear Kyle say is Ricky knows the playbook. Ricky has the ability to win and beat his guy and get open, and then it's up to the quarterback to deliver it, and he believes that Mac Jones is good enough to do just that. And you know, Ricky Pearsall, if you think about his four catches in the opener, at least two of them, if not three of the four catches, were fantastic routes where he won, and it was a well-blocked play, well-schemed, and Purdy made the throw. Purdy made a couple of great throws on those, but it was Ricky who won and got open.
This is Shanahan being asked about the injuries and whether or not it's a snake bite.
Had a lot of injuries the past few seasons. Do you start to feel like sometimes maybe you're snake bit?
I don't know. I think 23, I think we were the healthiest team in football, from what stats have told me or people have told me. Last year we weren't. This year it hasn't been good so far, but we'll see how it ends up.
Yeah, I think, and Kyle's not going to come out and say this because there's no win for him doing it, but somewhere tucked in there is, yeah, so that's not my fault. Stop blaming me for injuries. We haven't talked much about that this week. Listen, this is one of those questions. It sort of feels like if you're old enough to remember Chevy Chase's European vacation, remember when they circling around looking at Big Ben and they never got off the road? That's the discussion about what causes 49er injuries. You're never going to get an answer. You're never going to.
Well, there is no answer.
No, I had a buddy text me. Here, hang on. Let me look at this text.
Okay.
Friend of a huge 49er fan. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he just texted at 2:30 today. Do we have the same strength and conditioning coach/team as in years past? And that is to a big group thread, and nobody has answered him. And I think nobody has answered him because we're exhausted by the question.
And nobody knows.
And we also know what you're implying, Mark. He uses a K. But anyway, Like, we know what you're implying. And I'm personally, I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. You all can do what you want to do. I know a lot of people who think it's ludicrous to think that this isn't attached to Shanahan. It's ludicrous. How the hell could they be the most injured team almost every year? Well, I don't know. How the hell can you be the most injured team every year and then just suddenly moonlight as the healthiest team tucked in between all of them? I don't know. But I have arrived just based on the conversations we've had, my own sensibilities, and the game of football. I don't know how a coach could cause injuries. I don't know how a style could cause injuries. Even if your style is more dangerous, would it actually work out that way every year? Would it really be so much different than everybody else that it would cause that many injuries every single year? The people who've played in the system think that's a silly idea, and they've played in other systems as well. So I don't know what to do with it, but I am doing, just for me, line in the sand. I am done with blame and injuries, and that includes the players themselves. When I hear people start talking about injury prone and can't stay healthy and this, that, and the other, I am done with blaming people for injuries in the National Football League.
Well, you can not blame, you can blame. It just, everyone is individual and everyone is different. So when Juwan Jennings gets his shoulder nailed when he's not even involved in a play and he's got to leave the game because he either gets a stinger or whatever happened to him, you can't put that on the strength and conditioning coach. So he didn't work hard enough on his shoulder muscularity to withstand that hit. George Kittle pulls a hammy when he's just running by himself. Yeah. Is that, you know, you can tell a guy to stretch and you can tell a guy to work on this and that. And George Kittle probably did. Sure. He's been portrayed as a hard worker, and yet something happens there. The one that's going to be interesting is if something were to happen to Christian McCaffrey after a 25th touch in a football game. Oh. That's when people are going to lose their mind. I'm not saying it's right, but if McCaffrey is in a game and he gets touch number 28 and something happens to him on touch 28.
I actually don't even think it'll take that.
If it's like touch number 4.
No, then if it's touch number 4, then they'll blame last week.
Well, whatever. And you can always.
You know they will.
I know that, and ultimately what you say is true. And we've heard this from thousands of NFL players. There's 100% injury rate. So, yeah, guys are going to get hurt. Trent Williams got hurt because somebody rolled up on his leg. Is that on the strength and conditioning coach for not strengthening his ligaments in his knee?
The McCaffrey thing is so fascinating because I actually believe that one is a little different, because what we're talking about is not just overwhelming usage, but what we're talking about is somebody who over a lengthy period of time has had a number of major injuries and remains a centerpiece of the tackling focus on an NFL field. So there is a way, I think, to look at the Christian thing and think to yourself, it's coming for sure. For sure those legs are going to give out one of these years. So this is where I think the debate lies there. If you're Kyle or any NFL coach, what do you do with that thought? I don't even know that we can all agree on that. I don't know that we can all agree on anything. But if we could all agree, Christian McCaffrey's lower leg or legs are going to go at some point. Okay, what would you do with that information? Would you suddenly go, all right, I'm going to use him half as much, because I want to spread all of those things out? Or are you going to think to yourself, well, that's stupid, because if I'm spreading him out, that means that I'm basically, what I'm saving is his age 30 and 31 and 32 season, which are unlikely anyway and probably for a different team. Is that selfish? Is it irresponsible? Or is it the coach's job to go win the game? He's healthy now and he can help me win on Sunday. Ride the horse.
And you can't know that his legs are going to fall off. And
well,
I'm just going to lean on higher or lower. I gave you guys Frank Gore career rushing attempts, and it was higher, and he had 3,735. And as we all know, he tore his ACL when he was at the U at Miami. And if you want to look at his seasons, he has more than 200 carries in 11 straight years, mm-hmm. and his touches for his career, 4,219. His leg, it didn't fall off.
Right, but that's an ACL, and I would argue, like in the NFL, did he ever have major injury? Christian, we're talking about...
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know,
and in 2010, he played 11 of the 16 games.
Okay, so that sounds like a minor-ish injury.
Yeah.
Like, Christian had more usage than Frank did in college, and Christian has had many more occurrences of major injury in the NFL, and I would argue things that have to do with the Achilles and the calf are much touchier than an ACL. That's just, and I'm not a doctor, but sure. that's my amateur read on these situations. I don't think it's crazy to think that Christian McCaffrey, if you just ran this out, if Christian's like, I'm never retiring, I will not retire. I will run until it breaks. It will break. It's going to go at some point. And maybe that's way later. Maybe that's sooner. But when you have those kinds of injuries and buildup and all of this, I would love, Doc Pandy, if you're listening, send us a text. Is that a fair statement to make? It's going to go at some point. And even if it's not, if you're thinking that way, what's fair for the head coach to do? Are you supposed to stretch it out in the hopes of saving career years that are in a player's 30s that may or may not exist? And even if they do, they might be for a different team. Or is that coach totally in the right to say, you're healthy, you're here, I want to win, let's ride.
That's it. That's the way you have to approach it. And, you know, we all want to bubble wrap Christian McCaffrey. Just looking at the career list, he is eighth among active running backs in career carries. He's eighth. He's behind Derrick Henry, who he may never break down. That guy is
crazy.
Just a monster.
Fumbler.
Joe Mixon has more than McCaffrey. Josh Jacobs.
That surprises me.
Yes. Joe Mixon, 1,816 carries. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, we'll see him Sunday. Aaron Jones, more carries. James Conner, more carries.
But what about touches? Because Christian catches more than a lot of those guys.
Right. And if you want to add in touches, I'm sure he's still behind Kamara and Barkley. Kamara catches it a lot. And, you know, Joe Mixon, 1,800 carries, and he's only been around 8 years.
He's also totally hurt.
Yep.
And may not play at all this year.
But if you want to talk about, you know, just usage, and he's got another 319 catches as well. So yeah. I don't think that when you have Mixon on your team and he does have some injury issues, you're not just going to be hesitant to play him. If they're healthy, they play.
Dude,
football.
You're 6-0, so I think we need to, like, we're going to do this at 5:45.
Okay.
Like, everybody, like, you're going to have to wait till the end. This is like, you get kind of main stage status now.
Okay.
So let's take some calls.
Let's do it.
Let's take some calls. 888-957-9570. A couple of our favorites are on the line. Gene in Oakland is first up. Hi, Gene. What are you doing?
Sitting with the dog, listening to you guys, usual.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so listen, first of all, with regards to McCaffrey, I like what the coach did last week, how he kind of split the workload between him and Robinson, and I think that was just maybe a season-saving pickup, as it may turn out, you know, getting Robinson. But all in all, I mean, no, you just got to play. As long as he can play and he wants to play, and you're not going to risk, you know, like an injury that might last the rest of his life, you know, something like that. You got to play him. You got to get the most out of him. And that brings me to the coming game, which, you know, where I think we're going to need him even more, because I'm more and more concerned about Mac Jones the more I think about him. Because, and it goes back to last week. You know, listen, Purdy was running for his life most of that game. And the fact that he can scramble and that he can think quickly, that he can improvise, bailed him out. I mean, that's how we were able to win. And you know, for the most part, is he was able to adjust and, you know, not get killed in the process. I'm not sure Mac Jones can do that, especially, you know, with a new team. He's not a scrambler. And I'm not sure he's a very good improviser either. You know, if he was, along with his size and arm strength, I mean, I think he'd still be on the Patriots. So, anyways, that's my concern. I still think we're going to win just because of this defense and their lousy offense. But I'm anticipating another maybe 17 to 14 game. I think it's going to be a grinder.
Yeah, Gene, I know a lot of people who have been trumpeting, quote, take the under in this football game. Thank you, Gene.
Every football game. Did you see the unders in week one?
No, what was
it? It was under city. Like almost every game, like the Buffalo game, didn't
go Bills
under.
Yeah, Bills and Ravens went over.
Yeah, I have to check the notes, but I think the unders were 12-4 in week one.
Was it that intense?
It was a dramatic number of unders, I know, in week one.
Yeah, I get that, and I think that the concern that Gene is throwing out there is a completely fair one, which is that whether you liked the offensive play, offensive line play or not week one, you liked it more than most. Kyle said he liked the offensive line play. A lot of other people, I think there was clearly some holes in there at times. Brock Purdy facing the highest pressure rate of his career is another example. That offensive line has to play better because Mac Jones cannot deal with that pressure the same way that Brock Purdy can. So that's I think that's concern number one. Number one.
It's questionable concern, well, is what it is.
Of course.
And if you think about it, Purdy got sacked once, and on the most important pass plays, the offensive line gave him time. So it wasn't like he was running around, running for his life the whole game. On a couple of the big passes to Pearsall, on the one to Juszczyk that Greg Cosell was in love with. Remember when Juszczyk comes out and he kind of chips and he blocks and he delays and then he runs down the seam? That was well blocked as well. So there was times when the protection broke down and the run game broke down, but in the big moments, they protected pretty well.
Kurt in Hayward Hills.
Let's do this.
On 95.7 The Game. Hello, Kurt.
The two best sports boys in town. Hey, Dibs, your picks are great.
Hey, thank you, Kurt. That means a lot. I'm 6-0, and I'm just happy to try to keep this thing humming, Kurt. I got a couple more picks coming
up. Keep it rolling, fellas, because guess what? The 49ers are going to roll over the New Orleans Saints because last week, what did I say? We would beat Seattle on defense, and that's what we did. Hats off to Robert Saleh. He comes in. First time playing this year with the 49ers, he wins, and he's going to win again this Sunday, beating the Saints. It's a defense battle. When you got Fred Warner, the best linebacker in the league, you got Bosa, defensive end, and you got Robert Saleh, I think would be probably one of the top five defense corners in the league, and he's going to bring the 49ers defense to one of the top five, I'd say by the middle of the season or the end of the season. The Saints are going down. The quarterback of New Orleans Saints, you know what his record is?
Yeah, let's see.
Here's a stat for you.
What do you think?
He's 0-7. He's 0-7 as a starter.
That's a stat.
New Orleans Saints quarterback. 0-7.
Yep.
Wow.
That's a stat.
That is a stat.
Thank you, Kurt.
That's a stat,
I got
Kurt.
It right here on my stat sheet, Kurt. That's absolutely astute.
Well, no, a stat, not astute.
That's
stat.
Astute.
It's a stat.
It's an astute a stat.
Kurt, is it astute or a stat?
It's a stat, brother. And that guy's going down. He's not. There's no way that quarterback, Spencer, is going to beat us, the 49ers defense. Hey. He's going to win on us, being the first time to win an NFL game in the National Football League. He's going down,
okay.
And the Saints are going to lose that game.
Hey, Kurt, if Fred Warner gets through the line there and sacks Spencer Rattler, what should he say to him there under the pile?
I got it!
Not a Friday without Kurt.
That's a stat, brother.
It's astute.
It's astute.
And a stat.
It's also a stat, brother. He's 0-7 as a starter.
You got a pick?
I got two picks.
Yeah.
The picks are in.
Okay.
I'm 6-0. That's a stat.
All right. Then I think we've probably wasted enough time. We should probably get to ride the Dibbers.
Let's do it.
All right. Which is coming up next here on Willard and Dibbers.
Maybe I didn't do a little research on him too well.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we already know what happened in overtime. They kicked the field goal, and they should have went down on the fourth down and scored a touchdown, and then you gave that little run to chance to come back and win the game.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Dibs was just saying that there's certain things in life that just sort of, it's almost, sometimes it can be music.
Yep.
Right? It can bring you back. Certain things are indicators of other things. And a back-to-back of Gene in Oakland, followed by Kurt in Hayward Hills.
Hey guys, I was at the dog park.
It makes it feel like it might be Friday.
Yes.
It
might be Friday at 5:34. Sometimes Kurt would call in this segment, but...
he was smart. He knew that Ride the Dibbers was going to be featured as we got toward the finish line.
And when you're 6-0, you got to clear the decks a little bit for a guy who's been... Been cooking in all picks, 13-4, but 6-0 on the air, which is all that really matters. And I got a couple for you today, and then a couple more on Monday. I'll either be 10-0 after Monday, or 6-4, or somewhere in between.
Now I'm going to a concert tomorrow night, and any good concert, if you have a big headliner, you have to have an opening act. And so do you. You're 6-0.
Oh wow!
So you just sit right over there, fancy pants.
Yeah.
We have an opening act. His name is Brett in Walnut Creek. Hi, Brett. What are you doing,
gentlemen? I just got back
from where?
Over there. We have an opening act. His name is
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Brett.
Brett. Where'd you get back from?
We'll send you a recording of this. Turn the radio off and talk to us. We're right here.
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
We're great. What's going on, man?
All right. Here's the deal. We finally have a pro kicker in Eddie Pinheiro. We're going to call him Eddie De Niro. I know we've done that. We're going Eddie Money. But if you think about it, if we had a pro kicker, we'd probably win the Super Bowl.
That one for me is a little bit of a bridge too far. I get what where you're going though. He missed an extra point in the Super Bowl. He also made some big kicks. He also got a new job today. Did y'all hear that? Jake Moody has been signed to the Bears practice squad. The Bears.
Hey, here's what I like about the Niners. Here's what I like about what we've got going on. First of all, the Saints can't stop the run. I think we run the hell out of them. I think Mac Jones. Here's funny. Mac Jones has thrown for more yards than Brock Purdy in his career.
Interesting.
Mac Jones has thrown for 10,000 yards.
Yeah, more starts,
I mean, and again, the key is we got to block, we got to run, but I actually think this is actually a small blessing in disguise, and the reason why I say that is, let's see what our backup is, because we've seen what our backup hasn't been the last few years. What I wanted to do is justify why we've paid Brock Purdy what we did.
Well, I don't know necessarily how this is any sort of a referendum on that. Brett, thank you very much. I don't know, like, if he plays well, does that justify it? If it doesn't play well, does that justify it? What justifies it is Brock Purdy.
This has nothing to do with what you paid Brock
whatever
Purdy.
Brock Purdy, and by the way, like, you know what I mean? The toothpaste is out of the tube. Like, there literally cannot be a controversy at this point. There is no more referendum needed. The contract is signed. It's done. The investment has been made. Therefore, when Brock Purdy's healthy, he plays, and there's no other anything about anybody, whether it's Mac or anyone else.
At least for now, you know, you could cut him at the end of this year, and the dead cap hit is $90 million. So if you want to eat $90 million,
you're allowed to.
If you're that smitten with Mac Jones, you know, there are outs in every contract. It just costs you a lot up front.
You have not been costing a lot of people anything up front.
Unless you've been fading me.
You are 6-0. But now, Can you go 8-0? Oh, we're heading into the weekend. And you're right. We had to change the entire name of the segment. Let's ride the Dibbers. All right. It's a 2 for Friday because the Niners play, and then there's Sunday night football. Let's start with the Sunday nighter. It is the Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons in Minnesota. The Vikings, with J.J. McCarthy, come up with an interesting Monday night victory. Now they get another primetimer, and this time they will be laying points. 3.5, to be exact, against the visiting Atlanta Falcons.
Vikings fortunate to get that win. I won't say lucky because you have to make plays, and they did. Falcons unfortunate to lose that. Young-Wei Koo missed a kick that would have tied it and forced overtime. And so the records, you can throw them out in this instance. Minnesota with one day less of rest, having played on Monday, although they are at home. And so the Falcons come in motivated off a loss in a game that, you know, they felt like they probably could have won. Minnesota, if you look at that game in totality, and I did, they didn't play that great. McCarthy made plays when they needed him to, and they pulled out the victory. I think Atlanta's better, so I'm going to take the points and the road team. Atlanta plus 3.5 on the road.
I love the pick.
Yeah?
Love it. Love it.
Lucas?
Love it.
Peanut Gallery?
Like one of the locks of the weekend.
You think?
I like it.
I think they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I like Atlanta in the spot.
Win the game outright. I like a little Falcons on the money line.
Little money line, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are in the midst
of
Fade the Dibbers on 95.7 The Game. Ride the Dibbers, if you will.
Presented this is unheard of territory.
Paramount Plus. Watch the new season of Tulsa King on Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King, streaming September 21st exclusively on Paramount Plus. But Sylvester Stallone has nothing on Dan Dibley. The San Francisco 49ers will travel, led by Mac Jones, into the Big Easy and take on the New Orleans Saints. And ain't nothing going to get in the way of the Niners being a favorite in this one. It's just a little bit of a smaller favorite. The Niners, -3.
Three is what happens when you kick a field goal and you make a field goal. And the Niners now have a guy who kicks and makes field goals at a higher rate than almost anybody who's ever played in the NFL. I think that Mac Jones is better than most people think. And Spencer Rattler, I don't think that he's very good. He may be twitchy and all the things that Robert Saleh heaped on him.
He's about to be a household.
I'm not buying it. And the Saints had a really hard time stopping the run against James Conner. McCaffrey's better than Conner. Niners can run it. Mac Jones avoids mistakes. Pinero will make his kicks. I'm taking the Niners on the road and laying the 3.
I mean, look, it's a new year. I used to hate it when you took the Niners.
You hated it last week.
They won.
Yep.
It's a new year. You're 6-0. You're not going to get any hit.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And clapping out of me.
Really tempting fate, picking the Niners 2 weeks in a row and trying to win 2 weeks in a row.
Especially with a backup quarterback. But
do you feel the tension in the room right now?
I do. Spencer Rattler's also a backup quarterback. And as Kurt said, he's 0-7. That's a stat.
I do, but...
You don't do the semantics. He's not a backup quarterback.
Well, neither is Brock this week. I mean, Mac.
Named the starter. By choice.
Sure.
Not by choice. Force.
By choice.
Choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they want to get...
I do.
Yeah.
They want to get Peyton Manning's nephew next year.
Yeah.
So by choice. Hey, Rattler, go out there and lose a bunch for us, would you?
It's not like Tyler... I mean, Tyler Shuck's not going to get in the way of that either.
Yep.
What are you doing now, Grandy? What's going to happen next?
Did you guys know there's another crossover on Fridays now here on 95.7 The Game?
I mean, like...
I heard it.
I'd be offended by it if I wasn't... like, so not threatened by it. So.
Well, that's what we're going to hear next.
All right.
When Steiny and Goo encroach on the end of the morning show.
How come Steiny and Goo don't do a crossover with you, Grandy? You're the only show on this station that doesn't do a crossover with them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's coming up next, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
No.
And do it on Sunday?
You're out of town, and you're doing another show.
I am.
Yeah. You got your side piece on Sunday. Yeah, Ephraim.
Side piece Sunday.
I like that. Yeah, you want to like that.
How about Monday?
Just so you know, I'm nobody's side piece, I'm the main course.
You come on home to Daddy on Monday. I'll be here waiting for you.
5 o'clock on Sunday.
Let's go.
2 o'clock on Monday. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.